I didn't play with the dolls, I just made clothes for them. Costume design is the perfect mix of culture studies and textile and fashion and visuals. I've been told that my costume work is good because you can't see that anything's been done.
Ellen Ystehede is a Norwegian costume designer. She works for theater and for wonderful movies such as Joachim Trier, Oslo 31 August, Thelma, and The Worst Person in the World. Ellen, I'm delighted to welcome you to Profession Costumière today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Pleasure.
So I wanted to start with a question about your early career. Could you tell us how you became a costume designer? What led you to this profession?
I've been lucky enough to sort of just try it out. And after normal school, I did textile and tried to learn the skill of seamstresses as you have. Sewing. I have always been interested in clothing and textile, and it maybe sounds a bit silly to say that I just made Barbie clothes my whole childhood, but I actually did. to make clothes of what I could find, and I didn't play with the dolls, I just made clothes for them. Well, I started after this school, I started at St. Martin's. I was lucky enough to do 4 years at St. Martin's with all the varieties of different studies. I did costume and set design and did a lot of theater design. Model making, we made stages, we made sort of the whole image, the whole set. I ended up being more and more drawn into costume. And costume and culture studies, actually, which was sort of my main interest. And thought that costume design is the perfect mix of culture studies and textile and fashion and visuals. And after that school, I ended up assisting my favorite theater designer, Erlend Birkeland, and Maria Geber, the costume designer, who was great inspiration. And I did a lot of assisting. I ended up doing movies and costume design. I have to admit that I jumped into it a bit too early because I hadn't learned all the skills and all the technicalities of movies, and it ended up being quite a shock to realize that it's actually completely different from theater design and costume design for theater. It's all the technical practicalities you have to be aware of. But after learning the hard way, I was lucky enough to be able to continue and to explore. And after 20 years, I realized that I am a costume designer.
So you have worked on several movies with Joachim Trier and three of his most emblematic films. So Oslo, 31st of August, Thelma, and The Worst Person in the World. So I was curious about how you two met.
Well, we sort of live in the same city, and I can't actually remember sort of the first time we met, because I think we bumped into each other and seen each other have not the actual all the same friends, but we have some of the same parallel friends, and we live sort of, parallel lives in Oslo, but I met him, I worked with him on Oslo 31st, and I think we sort of started to talk and realized that we could relate to a lot of the same cultures and mm-hmm. sort of, we sort of understood what we were talking about by just having some quotes about places and people in Oslo, which was, of course, essential to that film. So just by that first talk, I think we sort of understood each other in a way, and hopefully I understood what he was after. And to try to explain characters when you haven't seen the same, well, it's not that we sort of copy people that we see, but of course, being an Oslo film, you try to relate to different societies and people and places. And I think that's how it started, that we sort of understood each other.
Mm, you shared the same references.
Yes.
Inspirations.
Yes, we shared the same references.
And on this film, you also met Anders Danielsson-Lee, and you worked with him several times afterwards. So I was wondering also how, like, the first feelings go, and was he sensitive to the costumes? Did you have long discussions about it, or was it just trying things and following your judgments right away, or how did it go?
Well, we had a lot of talks, Joachim and I, and of course I tried to translate this to Anders. Sometimes Joachim is there doing the fittings. Normally he comes a bit later and to see after we had tried a lot. Anders is great to dress. He is sensitive to costume in that way that you can change. The private Anders is different from the Anders on screen, of course, but he can, yeah, he's sensitive in that way that he can change, absolutely. He can go into another character with the right costume, and he can, with the wrong costume, he can, well, it's, no, he's, and he, of course, he has his own opinions, and, but he's, yeah, he's fun to work with, because he's like, there's one Anders on screen, and there's one Anders behind the screen on private, and yeah. It's very fun to see that change, because, yeah, that's, it's really a, yeah, no, he's sensitive to costume, and it's, even though it's very, like, discreet, I think just two jackets can be very different on him. Two mm-hmm. different jackets can change him a lot. And, of course, hairstyle, and, of course, the reason that he is a great actor. But, yeah, he's sensitive to costume in that way, but he's not a difficult person to work with.
So the best balance, I guess.
Yes, I think so.
And several years later, you have designed the costumes of another Joachim Trier's movie, The Worst Person in the World. And I would love to hear your thoughts when you first read the script.
Well, I thought the script was amazing. It's there has been a lot of changes in the script from the first draft to that I read to what it ended up with. More, well, sort of the feel and the story and the mood has always been the same, but it's more like the different, well, of course, the editing and all, but the mood has always been the same. And I love the change, all the changes of the main character, and all the different type that you should make her. I mean, like, almost every, not every, but many people have, of course, a lot of different styles during their youth. But, well, she's not that young in this film, but to try out different types. But again, I thought in a way we would go a bit further to make the change more drastic. We ended up in a bit more subtle way, which of course worked, and I think because, of course, a great actress does a lot of the changes. I think it was a great challenge, and a lot of research, a lot of talks, and yeah,
a great
project.
I guess for a costume designer, it's a very exciting challenge, because for the one who haven't seen the movie, we follow the character Julie in 12 chapters, hence the title in French, for instance, in 12 chapters. And we see 12 key moments in her life, but they only happen during 4 years. But indeed, she goes through so many changes. And that is really also, even though it's subtle, we can really see the evolution of her character through her clothes. And you mentioned that you did a lot of research. I was curious about your inspirations, and if you, I don't know, worked with mood boards, if you drew some things, like how did you like build her wardrobe?
No, it was a lot of research, and again, like research in Oslo, and again, different styles of people in Oslo, different, a lot of just people on the street, and just people that we knew of and that we saw, and I wish I did more drawings, but it's more like trying to just do like a sketch for memory, and more like a practical sketch than actual a perfect drawing of the character, because that's more like photos and references. We tried, of course, with the great Trine Moland, the makeup artist. It was a lot about wigs and hairdos, and of course, that's half of the job is the hair and makeup. So we worked a lot with different styles, tried out different things. And of course, this was during Corona. So it was a lot of challenges. And it was, and also that the main actor, she, when we started the project, she just had her son, so she had I think he was a few months old, a baby. So of course you do change after having giving birth. I mean, it was like we didn't really, no one knew how she would look in half a year, so that was or like in a few months. So it was a very exciting job, and yeah, and also we did get some extra time because we had this COVID delay. We had to stop working for, it was quite a short while, because we started up again luckily during Corona, and it was a lot of trying out and researching.
And I guess here again, the collaboration with the actress, Renate Reinsbach, was very important, and you had worked before together.
I knew her, but this is of course the biggest project with her. She had some smaller parts in other movies, which was great fun. She's great to work with. And also all these changes was great fun to try out different. And she's great to collaborate with, because she really, she's very, of course, interested in her appearance, of course, but also, I mean, to help out to understand the different characters and different styles and, yeah, costumes.
And something I noticed for her character as well is that, so Yuli's character is a feminist, and I was thinking that when you see her wardrobe, she's never like overperforming femininity. It's kind of, there's always some laid back elements, some masculine elements in her wardrobe, and I was wondering if it's something that you meant when you created the costumes.
Well, I guess maybe that was in the back of my head, but I sort of don't have this, like, this is feminine, this is masculine. I mean, I just try out what I think is the right look. And that might be masculine or feminine, but that's not the heading. It's sort of, yeah, just trying out what we think will be the right look. So I mean, maybe this dress that she's wearing and the party, the first party, is very feminine in one way, but then she has a more like blazer jacket that makes it more masculine. But yeah, that was cool.
You really think that way?
Yeah, well, I don't think that way, that let's get a feminine jacket, no, feminine dress and a masculine jacket. It's more like, well, maybe that's sort of one part of it, but it's more like how we want it to appear. So, and also there's so many different details, like how a blazer is a million different things, and a slip dress is a million different things. And also dress, which was dark blue, well, it may be pure black, but it was dark blue, and we tried to have this thing that she would blend into a party in the right way and crush another party in the right way. So yeah, it's great when it works.
It does. And I think like pictures of her, like especially there's one where she's smoking a cigarette wearing that dress on the terrace, and it was used in many countries for the poster even. So I think it represents her character in a lot of marketing assets, at least, let's say.
It was a long search for that dress, and we actually made up another with another designer that helped us to make this special It Girl dress, which was great looking, a bit more bold, and not personal, but more bold and trendy. But then we ended up that maybe this dress was great for Julie, but maybe not this early in her story, that she was not that self-confident yet to have a dress like the one we made.
So how did it look? Do you remember?
Pardon?
Do you remember how the other dress looked?
Yeah, absolutely. It was also dark blue and more like draped and with some bolder hardware. It looked great, but it was a bit more. Then again, this is costume indifferent to fashion, because of course that other dress was maybe more interesting dress-wise, but then I'm not doing fashion, I'm doing film and I'm doing costume, and it's not always the dress would have more of a role if we chose the other one, the other great dress. But this dress that was more subtle and more feminine, but it was more right for Julie in this scene, in this part. So we skipped the coolest dress and went for a more like elegant, discreet, yet not discreet when she's taking her coat off or jacket off. So yeah, it worked better. So that's always the challenge when you have to like look twice and think, what are we actually doing? Are we doing a fashion dress show, or are we doing a film? So
that is very interesting to hear about that other dress that didn't make it through. And the dress that you used in the end, was it made for the movie, or is it a dress that you
was actually bought in the shop and we had to alter it a bit? But that was bought.
I had also questions about another film you worked on. So it's called Bergman's Island, and it's actually directed by a French director called Mia Hansen-Love. And it takes place on the island of Faro, where Bergman lived and worked. And it tells the story of a couple of movie directors who are working on their scripts. And on that movie, you designed costumes for Anders Danielsson-Lee. So I was curious about how you worked on that project first?
Well, I was in a way lucky to be in that film. It was a practical reason as well that Anders needed, because of his schedule and because of the film schedule, that they wanted someone to design his costumes, because the designer they had for the other parts was, it was like more practical to do the fittings and the design in Oslo first. So we had fitting, I was asked to do his part. So it was Anders that suggested me for them, I understood in the end. But yeah, that was great. And then we had these fittings and we went down to meet in Stockholm, actually. So we met in Stockholm and did the fittings with Mia and tried out all the parts. And then I did some changes and sent the big box down to Sweden. So, yeah, no, that was very exciting because I only knew, well, I sort of had, of course, pictures of the other characters and as the other costumes, but it was very exciting to see the end project because I sort of didn't know, you know, this drawings that you make when you're a kid, when you fold the sheet and you do each part, then that was sort of the surprise that how it ended up with him. And I think it worked, and they did use the costumes that we decided on, so that was great. But I wasn't there doing the shoot, so that was a bit, exciting.
And I was curious, actually, of how does it work when you design costumes for only one character in a movie? How do you align with the rest of the costumes? So in your case, you are saying that you saw pictures. Sorry, the other costumes were already ready and you saw the other costumes, right?
Yes, I saw what they had in mind. But then, and also they, of course, had to see if it worked. And luckily it did. So, yeah.
Yeah, it works really well. You couldn't tell, I think, when you watched the movie that several people worked on it, which is, I guess, the Netflix success.
Yeah, that was lucky. Yeah. Oh, I haven't done that before, actually, to do just one character in the film. I think, no, I haven't. So, yeah, great challenge.
And I also wanted to ask you about theater, because so you were saying that in St. Martin you studied design for performance, which is a big word that could cover, I guess, a lot of different performances, such as theater, dance, movies, other forms, I guess, of art. So you designed costume for theater. So I was curious to hear your thoughts. Because I guess there's a lot of similarities in your work for movies and theater, but also a lot of differences because it's very different forms of arts, of lighting, of timing. So I was curious about this.
No, I haven't worked in theater for a long while because I have been, this luxury problem of having great films and TV series to work on. So, but there is, I would love to do theatre again, of course. It's a different way of working. It's, it's costume and clothing and finding characters, but the craft and the timing in theatre is more like, I love to start, I mean, you can join the readings and to be more a part of the whole concept in another way, because it's more concentrated and more, it's not like in movies where you just chop up the whole script and you don't even know what to start with. You might start in the end and end with the start when you shoot, and you have to be a lot more prepared for technical details and practicalities, which you don't always, well, of course you have to pay attention to that in theatre as well, but in another way. Normally it's more that you can design things and there is a crew there ready for you to pick fabrics and dye the fabrics. You can decide the color and you can get it done. And of course, you can do that in films as well, but not that often because the time schedule is normally too tight. So it's more the work and the, of course, the visual on a stage is a completely different thing than to work on a screen. There's two different ways, but you end up making a picture which is the same. It's just the way to that picture is a different process. Yeah, well, there's time pressure in both, but it's normally has to go quicker, and yeah, you don't get that much time to reconsider and try out. And another big thing is that you on stage, you normally get to know what the stage looks like. You can be there, you can go on stage and try the different fabrics, different costumes in the right lights or sort of the right lights, and you know more what you're doing actually. But in the film, you have this idea and you have seen the pictures and you work with the art department and you work with the photographer and everyone have their opinion and their idea. But when normally, especially if you are on location, which we normally in many of my films, we are a lot of locations, then you don't really know until you see it on the monitor. And then if it doesn't work, then I'm sorry, then you, well, I normally have some backups. secret backups, but you never know. And so that's maybe the biggest difference, that you sort of don't really know until you're there and it's too late. Yeah. So you try to be prepared and you do have tests and you have costume tests and you have camera tests and all, but you never know until you're actually there. And sometimes we come up with new ideas and you think they're going to frame the jacket and then all of a sudden they frame the shoes. So it's sort of, yeah, you have to be prepared for everything. And yeah, which is the great challenge and the excitement and can be a bit frustrating, but I do love the it's never boring.
It doesn't seem to be. That's very interesting. Thank you for sharing. I also had a few questions more general about costumes. And for instance, I was curious to know if there's any movie costumes or TV series costumes that you like, especially like that you saw when you were a child or later in your life and that really inspire you, that sticks somewhere in your mental mood board.
Yeah, well, there's many. And I have to admit that I don't see enough movies. I wish I had. I mean, there's so many movies I have not seen and I would love to see and I'm going to see. And so, but yes, there are many films and costumes that I do remember, but I do seem to sort of look at people and costume in like every all over, and that's more what I haven't done like costume research from films in the same way as I do look around, and my big what I'm very curious about is how of course now even more than ever how fashion change and how people change and how styles change and who wears what and why. And why is there a Norwegian style or a French style and what is that? And yeah, and all this. But there are some, I think, there's many. I think the Italian designer for Giulia Piersanti, I think that's her name, that did Call Me By My Name. And Suspiria, she's great. Of course, Euphoria has been very inspiring. Heidi Bevens. And I think Jacqueline Duran, that was doing a lot of great stuff. Of course, I mean, I'm mentioning the best people ever here, but of course it's inspiring. And also, yeah, no, this many. And I mean, every day I get more surprised or like daunted by how big this field actually is and how difficult costume can have. No, this many, but it's like appearance in general is what interests me.
And when you think about your own work, is there any specific costumes or movies that you are especially proud of, or you don't really see it that way?
Well, of course, there are films that ended up being more, better than others. But, well, I don't know if I should mention, of course, This Worst Person in the World was fantastic, and that the how it went was just beyond belief. But, well, again, this is the way, I've been told that my costume work is good because you can't see that anything's been done, which is to me a great, it's a compliment. So, it's more, I'm trying not to be boring, but to be more right and to be, to just make it work for the story. I don't know if I should mention any. Maybe in Thelma, this nightgown that she's wearing,
mm-hmm.
It works out, because that was a bit of a challenge to make it childish and transparent light without being Miss Wet Look and not being sexy in that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be just like a nightgown. Which, by having great seamstresses as well, because we had to make like many of this, then we ended up having this drapery just above her breasts that made it not transparent, but still transparent enough when you go wet. And to get the right white color is, and of course, is the Julianne Alaris, that's the colorist. He does great work on all these films that, of course, helps my work a lot. But, that's a dress that I, and the end product I really was pleased with. And, of course, it was a lot of preparation and work, but you never know until you see that it actually ended up the way we wanted it to. So that was... Yeah, that was good.
And what do you like most about your job as a costume designer?
I think it is that I get to see so many different ways of life. And I do a lot of commercial as well in between. It is a complete different way of working. But what's the parallel to doing a commercial and doing a film is to get to know all these different, to see different ways of life, that you get to see maybe the canteen room of a food store or a fabric because you had that as your changing room for a commercial, that you get to see how that looks and to see the everything from like the poshest posh to the grimmest grim, and that you as a costume designer get to, well, I think that as a costume designer, I get to meet people on sort of a level which is quite unique, because people accept you and relate to you because of my job, of course, but you can get to see the inside of many different ways of living and different societies, different classes, different everything, because you're sort of neutral in a way that I think is quite unique. And yeah, no, the variety and the creativity, the people I work with, the people, yeah, I mean, both behind and in front of the camera. And yeah, all the variety and all this, yeah, the different ways of living and being. I think that's what I love the most. And of course, to all art, textile, fashion, creativity, visuals. Yeah, that's what I love.
And is there any specific kind of project that you'd really like to work on? Like any, I don't know, any time period, any director or actor or actress you'd like to work with?
I think I am very lucky to just started a dream project, which is actually Joachim Trier again. So he's making a new movie and I'm so excited about this. So I can hardly wait. So that's my dream project, which is, yeah, about to happen, hopefully. I did I haven't done that much period costume, but I did, a year ago. I don't know when this is going to be sent because it's a lot of Viaplay back and forth. But I think it has to be a great series, which started in the 70s and ended up in 2007. So that was a long stretch and a lot of different periods and cultures. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that series, and I would love to do more period, but I am very happy to do what's the word? Not the parallel, but our time.
Contemporary? Contemporary?
Yes, to do like contemporary, yes. Yeah. I'm very happy doing that as well. I think that's getting more interesting every day.
Thank you, Hélène, for recording this interview, not once, but twice, because of technical issues. And thank you for listening to Profession Costumière. You can see the costumes we discuss on Instagram, at Profession Costumière. If you like this series, you can give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and even leave a comment. Let's keep in touch, a new format is coming soon.